SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Roll level two. This is Sports Rage. The quickest 120 minutes in sports talk and television continues, and we cashed some tickets here. Now I'll take the loss. We lost the under 6.5, and I told you a lot. I like the under. We lose the under, but we also it was ballsy and pretty unpatriotic of me to give you Sweden today. And, you know, I took Sweden. I didn't take Canada. I took Sweden plus 1.5. We did put Canada in that same game parlay, actually, that we do have alive still. But I said, you know, I think this game's going to overtime. And I think someone's going to win by one goal. And I'm getting 1.5. And I'm getting plus 375 to go to overtime. So I put my money where my mouth was. I took Team IKEA plus 1.5. I took them plus. This was a good parlay. I took, we'll find out if it's good tomorrow. But I got Finland plus 2.5, Cam. I also put together a Morenci Molotov cocktail parlay of Sweden plus 2.5 goals, Finland plus 2.5 goals.
And plus more money. See, that's what it's
about. Yeah, plus money for that.
That is
two
what
and a half in both
about.
Games.
That's how you do it. Like, that's a very smart bet. And you know me, I'm wrong.
Now, no disrespect to Tom Vecchio, Cam, who I saw earlier speaking before you came on, but... Yeah, he doesn't think I have a chance. Let's say settle down with the pick. Same with the Team Canada picks today before everybody. He said, he thinks USA is going to beat Finland 5-1 tomorrow. I'm like, no, they're not. Finland 5-1. No.
I'll tell you something else, too. These
people realize Finland play hockey, eh, people? Like, yeah. I don't know if you guys are like people out there. Like, they play hockey, right? They do it pretty well.
Very well. Suomi's good. Like, the thing people don't understand, too, is you got Saros, who's a pretty damn good goalie. He's been there for a while.
Because their two best defensemen are hurt.
You know, like, what?
So they still have NHL players on the team.
Another thing that Finland does well is they don't
you're
get
right,
into
though,
track.
You're right, though, Cam. Gustafsson is locked in here. He just stopped like a new breakaway.
I watch this guy play for
he's
the Wild
locked
all the time.
In.
If the Minnesota Wild didn't
have this goes to... No, I remember I told you. I went to see him live. I saw a Wild game like 2 years ago. I was sitting right behind the net, and I bet on the Canucks, and I lost because of this guy Gustafsson. It was pissing me off.
He's good.
He's the backup of Minnesota, too. And he wasn't even a starter, and he played. And I was like, man, this freaking dude's big. He stops everything. Like, the thing with Gustafsson, he's a big. Oh,
monster.
My God. Canada are all over him right now, guys. It's like 3-on-3. And they're just teeing it up, and Gustafsson just stopping everything.
He is so calm.
We played 4 minutes.
Just to your point, I want to give another point. USA can win this game. I like the 2.5. But for people that are not in the know, we follow hockey left, right, and center. Finland don't play games where they want to play a boring type of game. They're like that guy who lingers you, Gabe, in an MMA fight. The example is they'll wait for you to punch yourself out, and they'll capitalize. They're counterpunchers. They don't go in there.
Yeah,
and
they're not
wait,
like
and
Sweden
wait,
either, Cam. Like, yeah. They're not like tonight. I know a lot of people I typed tonight after the period today. They're like, after it was 2-0. USA is going to really mess Finland up. They're not even as good as Sweden. Finland are different than Sweden, guys. Sweden are all skilled dudes that like to tee up shots from the faceoff circle. They're good two-way players, but the Finns are peskier than the Swedes. The Finns are like, the Finns are dirty in the corner. Like, they'll slash you. Like, they're better forecheckers than the Swedes are. The Swedes, the classic Swede player is like my guy Elias Pettersson, Cam. He likes to float around in the offensive zone and set someone up. Or they like to tee one up on a nice one-timer on the power play. They're not grinders, the Swedes, but they're super talented. They can freaking skate, and that's why they're playing with Canada. And as you know, Cam, and people tuning in, Sweden's defensemen are studs, Cam. Like, these guys are all, like, they got Hedman, Carlson. They're all studs.
Look at these guys.
Too.
I know. Yeah, Hedman's a killer.
And they're all smart guys, too. Like,
they are.
The Sweden's defense is arguably the best in the tournament. I'm like, here comes Sweden. Wow, chaos in front of the Canadian net. This is nuts, this overtime right now, guys.
Oh, my God.
Here's Canada.
Go back.
Oh, my God, another save.
We got one. This Gustafsson guy, I'm going to, like, seriously, like, this guy, Who is he? Like, look at this guy.
Guys, they're just going back and forth and teeing it up on each other right now.
See that save? He didn't even flinch. He's like, oh, whatever.
Sweden legit just came close to scoring, guys. Binnington didn't know where the puck was. He was scrambling around. The defense of Canada got beat. Here's Sweden again. Wow, this is some epic hockey here right now. See, you want, like, this is too much, though. My heart can't handle 10 minutes of this. I'm used to 5 minutes of this. Like,
this is what I'm talking about, though.
Big save, Binnington. He just saved the game there. Like, the Sweden nearly just scored.
This is a video game. It's like great chances end to end. Like, see, that's why I love the 3-on-3 10 minutes. Screw the shootout. Yeah. This is the way it is. This is hard.
I don't like the 3-on-3. I prefer 5-on-5. I don't like this.
Well, the problem is,
it is what it is. It's entertaining as hell, but understanding, if you're the coach or whatever, you're standing there, you're like, you can't coach this. You just got to be like, oh my God, I just got to watch this like anyone else. But you'll notice, though, guys, the difference is, like, when they do the 3-on-3 in the NHL, oh, here comes Sweden. They do the 3-on-3, guys. In the NHL, it's not like as smooth as this. There hasn't been a damn whistle in like 5 minutes.
I know. It's been the best.
Like, they're all good players. So, like, a lot of times 3-on-3, oh, and Canada just won. Wow.
The parlay is
Mitch
insane.
Marner. Yeah. Mitch Marner.
You can always count on a Maple Leaf to get things done.
Mitch Marner. What a rocket of a shot.
Good,
the Swedish coach looks like he just got like this. He's like Ralph Wiggum when Lisa said, I'm only here because I don't even like you. I'm only here because I want to come to the Krusty show.
Choose you. Yes. It's like, yes. Horrible. I hated her for that. I was like so on Wiggum's side.
4-3 Canada final score.
I don't know what to say, Gabe. That was one of the best overtimes I've ever seen. Like, and that end action, beautiful. Beautiful stuff. See, if it was 5 minutes, we wouldn't have gone. We wouldn't have had that. We would have been in the shootout already because that goal wasn't it at 4-something? So that's the thing. The 10-minute overtime rules, that's the right – that's the right.
Well, it was Crosby that just, like, did – this is
– wow, this is epic. What a shot.
Hell of a shot from Marner.
Marner's bullet.
It was from distance, too. You know what? I like Marner. I just see right now it was deflected. It hit the Swedish defenseman.
It did his stick, top of the knob, I think, right?
No, it hit his it hit his shin pad, his knee. Still, it was such a nice shot that, like, even though it was like a bullet, it got sort of deflected, but it was so hard that it still went into the net. I thought Marner could step up here, actually, Kem. I was looking at him to be the potential top goal scorer for Canada. But that was big time.
You know what it is, though, Gabe? Marner's a guy that has always been known as the assist guy. And that's the issue that I've had with the Leafs a lot of the time. He's one of the best playmakers in the league. But Marner is a great offensive player. It's always Matthews. Let Marner do these things. Marner
can score, as you just saw there. He's got good hands, yeah.
That's the thing that bothers me. They put him in this role.
The thing is that Marner's just a smarter player, though, Cam. Like, he's like, Marner's the smartest guy player on the Leafs, actually. It's just he's
one
kind
of the smartest in the league.
You know,
he's great.
His effort lacks at times. You know what I mean? Right. It bothers him that he's not the, I don't know if it bothers him. I can't speak for them. Yeah, I can't. Like, it did before, put it that way. Like, the Matthews, Nylander, and Marner are not all going out together. We'll put it that way. They kind of go their separate ways after, you know, look, like, Marner's father's online bitching that Nylander sucks and that Matthews, you know, is whatever. Mitch could do the
Marner's
same thing.
Marner's father needs to just get out of the way and things would be
Nylander's a lot better. Nylander's father's the same, like, they're all, I think they get along better now, but I'll tell you something on the other side about that, though.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Rancy, the Pittsburgh Parts Lawsuits, people to bust them, everyone else in between. So Mitch Marner gets the game winner. Sidney Crosby, 3 assists. Carried the team tonight, Sidney Crosby, best player, oldest player in the tournament at 38, and best player on the ice. He was the best player on the ice. Like the speed that he played, him and McKinnon were unbelievable together, and Stone too, and then Stone in there, and then Crosby just set that up. Like it was a weird pass too. I thought it was going to backfire on him, but it was one of those Wayne Gretzky. Like he knew where Marner was going to be, and good point by Cam. Marner can finish, and I saw that too. And Marner Cam was like, it was like 18-1 or 22-1 or something to be the leading goal scorer in Canada, because we were talking about it last night. It won't be McDavid. Like, people think of the obvious right. name. I know McKinnon scored tonight, but McDavid's so good. You're not getting value with him. And the thing with McDavid, he's so good, guys. He's going to be on the ice against the other team's best players, right? Like, they're going to say, you know what, we want him in on the ice here. Like, so he's sort of getting, it's McInnes was sort of onto it last night. Who's going to be that sort of parasite guy that's going to be around that can put the puck in the net? He said Sam Reinhart. I was thinking, you know, I thought Cale Makar could score from the point a couple of goals in this tournament. I didn't think that was crazy. But I was thinking, you know what, Mitch Marner. I'm not surprised he scored tonight. And if he scores again in the next game, like he got something going here. But it's interesting. I said, I'm not saying there's friction with the Leafs now. I think they have better chemistry than they have in past years. But a couple of years, let's say 3-4 years ago, there was problems with these guys. Like, they didn't like that Matthews was sort of taking over as, like, getting all the goals. Nylander wasn't getting paid. Remember, Nylander wasn't happy. There was talk, like, you can't keep all three of them. And quite frankly, you're spending a lot of money on all three of them. So they got to figure out a way to play together. And then Marner sort of adapted into the more complete player between all of them. Right? All right, I'll be the one that'll actually pass the puck, and I got the vision here. Matthews more the goal scorer, but I think they do have better chemistry now, and I think the Leafs are legitimate cup contenders this year, and I think a tournament like this could really help them, actually. But Mitch Marner could use confidence like this in a big, like they even brought it up before. They said Marner hasn't had big success in the playoffs before. They said maybe being around these guys on Team Canada will show him the way how to win in a big game, and then boom, he just scores the winning goal.
This is huge. So think about this. The three best Leaf players are all on different teams. Matthews, the goal scorer. Nylander's just a natural goal scorer. He doesn't really feed anybody. And Mitch Marner, as you said, is the jack of all trades on the team. The fact that Marner scored a goal in a fashion like that, Gabe, I think is very important. And I think they have to do these types of things in the playoffs. They always ask, Marner's got to shoot more. He is a finisher. But you said it, when it comes to these guys, he's the most unselfish because, you know, you talk about the one-timer. Nylander's a good finisher. But this is very, very important in Leafs Nation to let Marner... You know what, dude? I know you pass all the time, but take your shots. Take your shots. You got a wicked shot. You could finish, and I think it's something very, very important moving forward for the Leafs to have success in the playoffs. And you know me, I don't really get too excited. I'd love them to be there, but I prefer them when no one likes them as an underdog role. But you're right. They're getting along better, and this tournament is very important, in my opinion, to have these three guys separated and see how they do on their own.
I said earlier, it was interesting. Brad Marchand, who we know is like one of the most intense guys in the NHL, maybe probably the most. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how when he plays for Team Canada, he doesn't have friends. It's just about whatever jersey he puts on. And he's good friends with McAvoy on Team USA and the Bruins. And they asked if they were speaking. And he said, oh, yeah, we have been speaking, actually. And he goes, once we play, it won't matter. But they have been talking this week in Montreal. Like, they saw each other, and, like, they're all in Montreal. They're all in the same building here, pretty much, practicing and stuff. So he said, oh, yeah, we're talking. And as far as for the record, the Leaf players, so you got Marner on Team Canada, Nylander on Sweden, and Matthews on Team USA, they have not spoken all week.
Amazing.
So they don't plan on it. Like, so we'll see after. Like, so I was just thinking, I don't know if you're not as close or whatever it is. Maybe you're just in a little bubble right now. But as far as Crosby's concerned, Nate McKinnon looks up to Sidney Crosby. They're from the same area in Nova Scotia, close to where McInnes is from. That's why he's a big, he doesn't admit it, but he's a big Avalanche homer. He loves to have, you know, Nate McKinnon this, Nate McKinnon that. And in fact, Brad Marchand's also from Nova Scotia. They scored the first Nova Scotia 2-0 to start the game tonight. Both goals for Nova Scotians. So, but Nate Crosby's older than McKinnon. But they have become best friends over the years. So they did a sit-down together before the game tonight, and they said, just tell a quick story. What's a funny story about each other? And, you know, Crosby, like in a boring Crosby way, told a story about how the first time he met him and stuff, about how he knew he had good work ethic and blah, blah. I don't know. It was like just, you know what I mean? It was okay, but it wasn't like. And then Nate McKinnon goes, you know, he goes, when I got drafted in the NHL, he goes, I knew him since I was a kid, but he goes, I got drafted in the NHL, and Crosby told me, all right, kid, let's go work out now, and you got to get ready for the NHL for real. And he goes, we went to this beach area in Nova Scotia. They have a beautiful beaches there. So he goes, went to this beach area, and he goes, there was like this sand hill. And Sidney tells me we're going to do 10 races, 10 sprints, back and forth, up and down this hill. And he goes, the first 9 times, Sidney killed me up and down the hill. And it's like thick sand and stuff, right? It's like a tough, like, grind. He goes, the 10th race, I was beating him. And he goes, I can't believe I'm about to beat this guy finally. He goes, he was really beating me. And he goes, then I just felt like this big hand grab my ankle, pull me down face first into the sand, and then beat me top. And then Crosby goes, I beat you again, 10 out of 10. And he goes, I realized right then and there, like, that's what winners do. And he basically told a story. And then he said, that's Crosby. Whether it's a sprint in the middle of the summer up a beach, he's going to beat you. He wants to win. He'll tackle you and pass you just like he'll trip you in the corner to get the puck, Cam. Like, that's what winners do. That's like the Michael Jordan thing, right? Or, you know, Ted DiBiase. Hey, kid, I'll give you $100 if you can bounce the basketball 5 times in a row. He kicks it the 4th time he kicks it, right? Like, you better learn to move the ball, kid. But, like, that was Crosby sort of sending a message. And Crosby laughed, and he goes, yeah. He goes, I can't believe I did that, actually. He goes, kind of a jerk thing to do, but... McKinnon's like, no, it taught me a lesson about winning. It was a funny story. And that's what winners do, man. They always compete. It's like the Harbaughs getting into fights over ping pong tournaments at Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Pits, the Players, the Hustlers, the people, the bus, them, everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We just wrapped up game one of the Four Nations face-off, and there was a lot of apprehension, speculation, negativity from people, but whatever. People online that don't actually go out and never go to these things don't really matter anyways. And, there was not a ton of buzz in this. Well, I looked at the tickets today online. They were going up, not down. The cheapest ticket to get into the building tonight in Montreal was $265. And they sold out. It was a hot ticket. Now, tomorrow, USA and Finland, there's obviously, it's not quite the same price, but the ticket sales are actually pretty good. And they announced they sold 110,000 tickets for the Montreal games. So they've done very well. So people, people always think the sky's going to fall and everything the NHL touches, but we'll give them credit. And one thing I'll say, they have to be ecstatic right now, like of what just happened tonight. The way this just started, this could not be better. And for anybody, for all you jerks out there that think, I'm talking to you, George Kurtz, although we love you. They call it a regular season, like, they're shutting the regular season down for this, right? Yeah. This is much better for the game, guys. There's going to be people talking about this now, right? About, like, no one would talk about the regular season stuff. Like, you know what I mean? No one would care. People are going to talk about that. There's going to be a big buzz now that people are going to can't wait to see the next game and then the following game after this, leading into USA and Canada on Saturday night. So, yeah, this tournament could not have started off any better from a quality standpoint. So we should be... Should be noted, too.
I just want to say, look at the speed. Look at the speed. Like, me and you watch this game, it played like a playoff game. And I'm with you again, like, with this stuff. Like, it even exceeded my expectations, Gabe. Like, the NHL All-Star competition reeks.
I knew this was going to be top tier, though, Cam. Like, I followed the players closely. But like I said, I knew this. The players were taking it more seriously than the fans were. So now the fans, I think, see how serious the players are taking this. And then they're really going to start to get on board, right? especially since they won tonight. If they would have lost, then you know everyone would have buried them after the fact.
Yep.
That much of a difference. But, man, Sweden came close to pulling off the big upset. So, we go into tomorrow now, and I was going to say, should be noted, and I like this. This is another thing, too. The NHL should actually do something that they did in this tournament, and I've been saying this for years, is they don't want to do it because they think that the standings will look ridiculous with the points. But your standings already look ridiculous with the OT this and loss that. No one understands what the hell it means. You got like five categories.
Four columns.
Teams are 25, 14, 18, and 6.
It's like, I hate it too.
Overtime loss, win this. Like, guys, like, whatever, man. And your stupid point system, this is 3-2-1. You get 3 points for winning in regulation. You get 2 points for winning in overtime. And you get a point for making overtime. Yeah. It's like it's a 3-2-1 format in this tournament. Which is good. I think that's good. So it should be noted, Canada only got 2 points out of this, right? They did win the game, but they only got 2 points out of this. Sweden scrapped a point out of this. USA and Finland are up next tomorrow night in Montreal. Team USA, -340 favorites against Finland, +270. The total is an even 6 right now. Now, the first game just went over the number. And this was 5.5, Cam, and the odds makers moved it after watching this game tonight.
It's funny you say that, Gabe, because on a couple of my books, I got 4 of them. Most of them are 6, and one of them at FanDuel is 5.5. So it's interesting with only 20 cents to the over. But as I mentioned before, if you're Finland, you basically want to keep everything in front of you. You can't let USA get out to a lead and extend in this game. Finland has to play a very, very tight game if they're going to have any chance in this game and kind of attack in the third. Like, hey, look what their juniors did, the USA. They played – USA's team was fantastic, and Finland lost in overtime in that game. So that's the whole point you bring up, and we talk about a game. Finland's a great hockey nation. They get treated like they're chumps. They're good.
Yeah, they get continuously disrespected. Finland, like time and time again in these tournaments, but they get it. They know it. Like I said, they have a different temperament than the Swedes too. Like the Swedes, they're a different style of hockey. It's going to be an interesting matchup. Should be noted too. Of course, the 1980 Miracle on Ice, the gold medal game was USA versus Finland. And they did just play in the World Junior Hockey Championships in the gold medal game, which USA did win. So yeah, USA are -340. The total is 6. Then on Saturday is going to be fun. We got a doubleheader on Saturday. Finland and Sweden. And Sweden's going to be in a must-win situation. These teams really don't like each other. And you got the Swedes are -170 favorites against the Finns.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Quickest 120 minutes in sports talk and television, Sports Good Radio, Television Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Looking at the ticket prices for tomorrow night's game, USA, Finland, and Montreal. This would be a cool game to go to. They'll all be cool to go to, but you can get in for about $100. The cheapest ticket right now, there's a couple of tickets for $92, but it's generally $100 for the upper deck. Lower bowl, not bad, actually. You can sit behind a net for, like, $166. You can sit at center ice for, like, $222. So pretty good prices for the game tomorrow night. And then, of course, Saturday night is the big one. Let's see the prices here for USA and Canada, which, they're not playing around on Saturday, the scalpers. Welcome to the Belle Province, baby. Cheapest ticket right now is $583 to get in on Saturday night. Center ice right now, $2,953.
Ooh, it's kind of like your old scalping days. You wish the Leafs and Canadians played in the final, but when the Kings are, that's the whole thing, man. You get two heavyweights, scalpers are like, let's bring it on, baby. Pack my wallet.
Yeah, especially since Canada won tonight, it helps. Like, if Canada would have lost, and Canada don't play again until this game, So they can't do anything to damage the ticket sales here. Hot ticket. Our boy Andrew McInnes wanted to go to the games, and he is, but he decided to roll the dice. He's going to the, he went to Boston instead of Halifax because it's cheaper. The tickets are like only $200 in Boston, and the flight was actually cheaper to go from Halifax to Boston than it was Halifax to Montreal, because the greedy Canadian airlines, in which they have a monopoly of, decided to jack the prices up to Montreal during the Four Nations tournament. Real classy of them. It's like, really, oh, there's a hockey tournament. All these people want to go. All right, let's make it $900. It's like, you're better off, like, hitchhiking. You can literally take, you can literally skateboard, like, $900.
Skateboard. Skateboard, that's the best. The best was your line, though. McInnes, he was all, like, being secretive. Weekends in jail. That was, like, at the, yeah, last night's show. I almost died.
Oh, when he said, I have a commitment. I'm going to miss, I'm actually going to miss some of the game. I have a commitment.
Yeah, he was all, like, quiet and secretive. You're like, what do you got, Weekends in jail? That was the best line.
Wouldn't tell us.
Exactly.
He's coaching. He's a coach. He's coaching youth. All right. Ian Cameron, also a secretive person. What's going on, Ben?
I'm not the only one that gets roasted on this show. Everybody does. It's a roast fest. Yeah.
It is. Even me, Babano.
Yeah, but our boy McKenna is out there giving back to the community, coaching youth. We don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a difference.
Oh, amazing.
He told us. All right, so there's Mitch Marner being interviewed right now after scoring a big-time goal for Team Canada. What really would have been a big collapse, Babano, after blowing a 2-0 lead. In a tournament in which there's only three games to get to the final, there's no room for error. So Canada dodged a big-time bullet there. Although, like I brought up, they only got 2 points for this. You have a 3-2-1 format, right? So they did only walk away with 2 points, but they did get the win here this evening. What did you think of the Team Canada-Sweden game tonight?
Well, I thought, first of all, they had a great first period, and I thought Sweden was a bit on their heels, especially defensively. You could tell they were having issues sorting out coverage, and they turned the puck over. And obviously, you take a penalty in the first minute, and that's the one thing we saw clearly tonight, and it was the only penalty Sweden took in the game. It was that high stick from Nylander in the first minute. And of course, Canada right away scores on the power play. That is your blueprint to the rest of the other teams, U.S. and Finland, when they play Canada. Stay out of the damn box. If we are going to give ourselves a chance to beat Canada, we can't give this maybe all-time great power play one unit that they can put out there in an international tournament, give them that opportunity. Because at 5-on-5, even strength, especially you guys in the last two periods, I thought Sweden at times, they outplayed Canada. They were better for extended stretches. But at the end of the day, overtime goes either way. Both goalies made good saves, and Canada makes good on their last chance, and Sweden doesn't. And that's the difference in what was a very good, very competitive, very exciting game. And I would love to see what the people that said I couldn't give this tournament an ounce of my attention. I'd love to hear and see what they think after this game.
What's this guy's name from Toronto right now behind Mitch Marner? He's got to make sure he gets on TV.
Our boy Zeisberger?
Or what's his name? Yeah. Zeisberger.
Yeah, he probably is. He's there. I know he's covering it.
Notice one thing about Zeisberger is, too, he's the best. He always gets in the shot, and he always has that smile. Hey. He's like, never knows that guys are the side. He's always in the shot. That's hilarious.
Thing is, for people at home, too, it's like, makes whoever's paying him being there happy. They see, he's like, man, you saw I was there. I was in the... This guy's like that big Dom guy with the Eagles. Got to make sure you're in the shot with Sirianni there, eh? It's like...
It's so true, though. He's always in the shot.
No. Like, yeah, when they won the Super Bowl, it's like, dude, we get it. Like, you have to be right, but you don't have to be behind him. You have to be beside him. No one's going to attack Sirianni in the middle of the field of the Superdome right now, bro. I saw him, Greg. He was like a kingpin rock star at media night. Hey, Dom, everybody. He's got two Super Bowl. He's walking. He had the big Super Bowl ring on already, walking around with it. So yeah, 4-3 final score. So we hit this pretty good, Babano. I don't know. What did you do with this? Who did you have in this game tonight? Cause we took Sweden +1.5 -120. I bet the game to go to overtime at plus 375. I did lose the under 6.5. I thought it was going to go to overtime tied at 2. But like you said, taking a penalty like that, and freaking good job, Nylander, taking a penalty like that, that's like fumbling the opening kickoff in a football game, like against the Eagles on the road. Like, the one thing you can't do if you're Sweden is take a penalty in the first minute and find yourself down 1-0. Because like you said, they got, like, ambushed for the first 8-9 minutes, but they started to settle down after. And if Canada doesn't score that goal, Babano, at the end of the second period, this game is really different as well. Sweden were knocking on the door, bro, when it was 2-1. Like, they nearly tied it a couple of times, and you got the feeling the momentum was changing in the game. And then, boom, Canada scored that late goal in the second period to make it 3-1.
And a beautiful assist by Crosby, too, on that goal to Mark Stone to make it 3-1. He was just phenomenal. I mean, making plays, winning puck battles. This guy's going to be as my age, essentially, actually a couple of years younger, and he's just such an incredible player, still getting better and better. I just marvel at it because I'm complaining about bad neck, bad back, can't move certain days, don't want to wake up certain days, and here's Sidney Crosby just marveling us before our eyes athletically.
Well,
it is.
You're not really a fine-tuned athlete like Sidney Crosby.
No, I know. I get that.
He's tough, just to tell you. Yeah.
I like that.
I love that. He's the best.
I got into that with Teddy once. Like, there was a football player coming off an injury, and Teddy told me that he had the same injury once, and it took him like a certain amount of time. And I said, "Well, you're not Saquon Barkley." There's a big difference. Like, you know, and Teddy was comparing his own woes to like a professional football player. And I'd put Ted Savransky and Ian Cameron in the same athletic department camp.
Exactly. Same bone structure, too.
Same bone structure.
same athletic talent. So what do you think tomorrow of a battle? We're coming up to a break. We'll get Babano's take on USA and Finland. I've got a back end of a parlay. I took Sweden plus 2.5 goals and Finland plus 2.5 goals at plus 111. So now I go into tomorrow's game already with Finland at plus 2.5, but maybe I'll go Finland plus 1.5 now as well. Tricky game tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see. Like, it'll be, you know, both these teams tonight sort of watch this tonight. Now they know what they're in store for a little bit. I think, you know what I mean? Like, Sweden weren't ready today in the first, like, 5-7 minutes. I think they didn't realize, like, oh, crap, Canada aren't messing around. Like, this is for real.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. 66-63 for the LA Clippers right now. Clippers are minus 5.5. They're at the half. High-scoring game. In-game total, 248.5. Warriors are down a 10 spot to the Mavericks, which was 7 minutes left. 221.5. It's 97-87. Plus 6.5 is the number there. So, great hockey game tonight. The Four Nations tournament has begun, and the league has to be very pleased with what they saw tonight. Let's get I want to get an updated number here. Let's see if they have the futures up here after tonight. Like, Canada were plus 140. I want to see if they've moved this. Let's see. Oh, they actually took it down right now. All right, we got the top goal scorers and all that still, but they took down the futures for now. So Finland has some defensive issues with Babano. We all know it. They're shorthanded. They've had bad luck, right? Finland literally lost their top two best defensemen. So they do have NHL defensemen, but they kind of got, like, you know, fifth and sixth NHL guys and fourth guys and fifth guys and stuff. So I'm not going to dispute their issues at the back end. But at the same point in time, you know, I think they'll simplify things, get the puck out of the zone. I like their forward lines of playing two-way hockey as well. Saros is hit or miss between the pipes, right? Listen, I like Lankinen, but Saros is their guy. And it is what it is. But when Saros is hot, he's as good as anybody. And one thing that you have to remember, everybody, and people talk about these goalies and stuff, especially with the European dudes, You see it. You see it with the Russian guys. Some players are just better when they play for their countries, right? You're like, where the hell was this? Like, you know, how many didn't do this? Like, they put their national jersey on, man, and it's different for them, right? They get in a zone, you get hot, you see it all the time, and he's going to have to play well. And you got Hellebuck on the other side. It's interesting the total's gone up to 6. What's your pick for tomorrow, Babana? What are you leaning with? It's a tricky handicap.
So with the total going up to 6, I think the U.S. can score, and I think they can probably score 4. What I like the most is I like the USA team total over 3.5 at -140. That is probably what I like the most here, because the concern I have with Finland, they will play hard. They're always a country that gets underestimated, and I think up front, forward-wise, they're probably better than they've been. And they were supposed to have a good blue line, but that blue line is really depleted to start this tournament. Rasmus Ristolainen was supposed to be a starting blue liner for them, out due to injury. Joni Hakanpaa was supposed to be a starting defenseman for this team, out due to injury. And the biggest one of all, Miro Heiskanen, who's played like one of the best defensemen in the entire NHL this year for the Dallas Stars. His injury that he suffered with the Mark Stone collision against Vegas, he's out. And he's the guy they can't replace. And they don't have the depth really to replace him. You're looking at a Nicholas Montinpolo, Urho Vakanainen third pair. That is not what Finland had on the radar if they had all their blue line healthy. So I worry that this U.S. team, which does have a very impressive game, a very impressive four lines of depth, the third and the fourth line are going to be able to forecheck that third pair for Finland to death, in my opinion, and probably make some things happen. I think it's just too much to ask a very shorthanded Finnish blue line to handle it. So I think the U.S. get the job done. You know, it's probably a goalie edge with Hellebuck over Saros. Saros hasn't had a great year. We'll have to see on the international stage, but you have to remember he's a smaller goalie too. Doesn't cover as much of the net. I would have gone with Lankinen and Gabe from Vancouver just because he's had an outstanding year. He's had the better season, quite honestly, compared to UC Saros so far. But I think with Saros in net, I think the U.S. gets to 4 goals. It's certainly better than taking them on the money line. So USA team total over 3.5, -140 for me.
Cam, what's your pick tomorrow? USA and Finland. Finland's +1.5 only, +105. It's pretty, like I said last night, it's kind of crazy because USA are -340. You know what I mean? Almost figure we're getting close to that +2.5 range right now with Finland. But it's like one of the, last night I said it was +200, Finland +2.5. It's down to -190 actually right now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to say the USA win 3-2?
Yep, 3-2. That's my score. Just below Babano's team total. I don't think it's going to be easy. That's the whole thing. And these guys, I understand what Babano's saying, and he's right. Over time, it's going to matter. But when you're a young guy and you get an opportunity like this to put on the Suomi shirt, which is Finland, and you go in there and you're playing a game against the USA, a team that beat you, the juniors, the USA juniors beat the Finland juniors in that tournament in overtime, it'll be a very, very competitive hockey game. 3-2 or 4-2 with an empty net, or I'll go with 3-2, Gabe.
We'll see the chemistry of the U.S. team. Canada's chemistry really came together quickly tonight. That's what was super impressive. I talked about this, Babano, last night, and I posted this online about in a tournament like this, pre-advanced coaching is going to be massive. You know what I mean? They don't have a lot of time to practice together. So, like, how do you break down? How do you scout the other teams? You don't really have a lot of tape to go off of. And so it becomes down to, like, an intensity factor. And there's no secret, too. Brad Marchand's the one who's been leading the charge there. Like, Canada are super, super into this. Like, I'm not saying the other teams aren't, but you saw that they played with an intensity tonight early that Sweden didn't have. Like, it took Sweden, like, 10, 15 minutes to realize we're going to get boat raced if we don't start, like, competing harder. Like, that second goal, man, they barely backchecked, and they paid the price for it. You know, we'll see if the U.S. can bring this same fire, but I imagine they will. They have a lot of physical players on their team.
Yeah, it's like I think for Finland, it's very important you keep this low scoring. But is their blue line capable of it right now? With as you know, there is a lot of inexperience, especially at the international level. Have Mattanpalo and Vankanainen ever played in an international tournament before? You do get concerned how they're going to be able to handle it. Like I said, for Finland, they're going to have to get great goaltending, and they're going to have to hope the U.S. is not, and they have to stay out of the box too. Because as much as I talked about how Canada's power play on paper is the best, you know, you can throw out Jack Hughes and Matthew Tkachuk and Austin Matthews on this U.S. power play. It's pretty damn good, too. So very important for Finland to be disciplined, not give the U.S. the power play chances.
JT Miller, Austin Matthews, and Matthew Tkachuk. Kyle Connor, Jack Eichel, Brady Tkachuk. They got some serious lines here. Dylan Larkin, Jack Hughes, Chris Kreider. Gensel, Trocheck, and Boldy. Brock Nelson, healthy scratch.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. Man, the show really did fly by here this evening. All right, we'll get to Cam's golf picks. Steve Babano's golf guy. Some best bets. My pick was Hideki Matsuyama to win and Adam Scott to finish top 20. A crazy stat, though, on the way out. And I did post this earlier in the day today, so this is a surprise. But it is incredible that Team Canada, Sidney Crosby's 26-0. His last 26 games with Team Canada, they haven't lost. 26-0 for Sidney Crosby in a Team Canada jersey. An unbelievable accomplishment and run. And good for him that he's getting some love here because he's kind of forgotten about now in Pittsburgh. And unlike if he was an NBA player, he would just complain and go to a winning team. But, you know, he's riding it out with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I think one of the reasons is because he knows he's got tournaments like this to look forward to. He's got this one, and then he could end with a bang potentially a gold medal in the Olympics next year. All right, Cam, what do you got for this Genesis tournament?
It's going to be crazy, Gabe, playing like a major. Some of the best players in the world, 7,800 yards and predicting 55 Fahrenheit. That is cold. But let's roll right now to the board of winners. Ludvig Åberg, this is nuts to me. Coming off a cold, but Keith Stewart talked about it on Sports Grid. This guy's healthy. He should be like 16-1. I'm getting him at 30. Sungjae Im is complete ball striker all the way around. Fairways hits, everything he needs to do well to win this tournament, he will. Okay. Let's talk about the Irish Bear. He won the Open Championship. Shane Lowry at 38-1 is a good price. Rasmus Højgaard, I had him last week. I got excited. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to win a few dimes. And Sunday he went down to T12, but he was in second place the whole tournament with the, you know, Dietrich won, but Højgaard was right there, guys. So now we're looking at a little bit of value too. Tony Finau at 35-1 is a guy who murders the ball. Hopefully he can get that flat stick rolling. And Aaron Rye, international field for me. Ryan Ginger at 150-1, top five. I like Scotty Scheffler at a plus 105, top 10. Taylor Pendrith, the Canadian, playing great this year. Top 10s all over the board. This guy is making money, plus 240 for a top 10. And Sepp Straka, one of the most underrated golfers in the world, the heavy Austrian who went to Georgia, plus 310 for a top 10, top 20. The Scottish lefty, Robert McIntyre, plus 110, playing great golf as well. Thomas Dietrich, Gabe? I'm going back to Dietrich. Not saying he's going back to back, but you want a hot player finally getting his win? Top 20, plus 120. And Cameron Young, not sure if he can win, but top 20 looks good to me. First round leaders, Åberg at 30, Højgaard at 40, Wyndham Clark at 50, Keegan Bradley at 50, Gary Woodland at 70, I know Brady likes him, and Aaron Rye at 80-1. Enjoy the golf, everybody. It's going to be wicked, man. Gabe, we talked about it. This winning score might be anywhere like minus six because how long this course is playing. It could be nuts.
And rain expected in the forecast tomorrow. It was raining today, but it's certainly supposed to be raining all day tomorrow as well. Babano, any picks for the Genesis?
Yeah, we got a few from the golf guy. Taylor Pendrith, Pendy, 37-1. He's on Taylor Pendrith. Cam mentioned it in good form. Victor Hovland, 60-1. Cameron Young, 65-1. Wyndham Clark, Wyndham Clark at 75-1, and Andrew Novak, 120-1 for my golf guy, and one longer bomb right here as well, Ben Griffin, 165-1.
All right, Ben Griffin says Ian Cameron's golf guy. All right, how about this? It happened again last night, actually. We took, and for the record, for people to tune into the show last night, we murdered that college basketball. Santa Clara plus 12, San Jose State plus the points, and the over in the duck game. But once again, San Diego State came back on San Jose State. It's incredible. They did it twice this year, down massive points. And right now, Babano, you got Wyoming. These guys were 16.5-point underdogs at New Mexico in the pit right now. The Cowboys are up 3 with under 3.5 left. So 3.5 left. New Mexico are plus 100 on the money line. I'm thinking the Lobos, you know, could pull this out late. This next possession, though, is huge as far as in-game betting. But massive, massive upset in the making here, potentially, Babano.
They're never out of a game. They can obviously make shots. They have a great backcourt. Donovan Dent leading them, of course, in that regard. He's a great player, great shooter. They're going to need some shot-making now because Wyoming has clearly played some great defense. What, 49 points? That's all they've got. 59 points, I should say, with 3:49 left. So we'll see if they can shoot their way back into it. They're not out of it, but though, lots of time left.
Man, it just moved to 155. I just want to get it a plus.
You could have got a better number. It was plus 1.5. Now it's minus 1.5. They just scored. They're down 1.
They're going to come back and win. Look, like I said, you're getting a 16.5-point favorite here in a 1-point game with 2.5 minutes left. Take the Lobos. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.